This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
Y'all can go to Destin with them tourists all around. I'll go to South Texas where my friends can be found. Lord, I know that's in Fort Alto.
All right, guys, we are back for another episode of Deep in the Hunt of Texas podcast. I am your host, Connor Little, and man, I'm just sitting here thinking about deer season, thinking about hunting season, and we could not be farther away. I mean, it feels like we're at the median of the year, if you will. I think, you know, December was 6 months away, and that's my big deer hunt. Is that December is about 6 months away. So we are about as far away from it from a calendar point of view as we can get. But that doesn't mean we're still not going to think about it a little bit. I know for most of the time I am not. I am full bore on the golf right now. I just cannot get enough of it. I just have lots of self-loathing and hatred for myself. So therefore, I am going to go play a lot of golf and do some fishing. You know, I like getting down to the coast this time of year as well, but still definitely, you know, you say we're in the doldrums of deer season as far as being away from it, the summer lull, summer swing, whatever you want to call it. But it's crazy how fast it can sneak up on you. I mean, for years now, me and my buddies up to hunt our place in Bowie, we've talked about getting a work weekend together in February. Getting things going in March, maybe even just having everything done in the cool weather, and somehow that never happens. I mean, I think that's the story for everyone. So it looks like another hot August out in Bowie, Texas for me, fighting, you know, as David Allen Coe said, fighting mosquitoes in the Texas heat. That's going to be me again this year, but we're still going to talk a little deer hunting. And today we have our guest, my fellow Montague County hunter, Travis Miller. What's going on, Travis?
Man, same thing, just watching the camera pictures.
Interesting. So you got cameras up running right now.
Yeah, I just leave them out there.
See, I am prone to heartbreak. And I have had a few instances where I am watching a deer all year. This actually happened to one of my really good buddies in East Texas. Had a beautiful 12 point. Made it through hunting season, got him all spring in velvet, all summer in velvet, and he found him dead in velvet in late August. And I'm like, I don't know if I can handle that kind of heartbreak. You know, I got, my life is busy and hectic enough. I don't have time to be sad over a big deer like that. But, so you're running cell cams year round pretty much then?
Yeah, I just leave him out there because I don't have anywhere else to put them, so I just keep seeing what's going on, watching coyotes, and seeing what the deer are progressing.
Yeah, that's It's good. You know, maybe I'm the one who's the village idiot here. Now, there's probably a lot I could learn from patterning deer in late spring and summer, but I don't know. Maybe I'm not the one that has it figured out. But it's funny you say that. I actually went out, I think it was Easter weekend, and pulled all my cameras out. I was like, you know what? I don't want these sitting in the heat and the rain and all that that comes out in spring. So I was kind of done with it. But you know, depending on what camera you use too, there's some of them, there's pros and cons. I believe, you know, we're not sponsored by anybody. I was using Moultrie for a little bit. I think they only let you buy cell cam. And I don't know if you're using cell cams or not. They only let you buy cell cams, plans by the year. And I was cheap for a year, but you could only buy by the year. It's like $80. So, I mean, if you got that year-long plan, of course you might as well just leave them out.
Yeah, it mine are spot points is what I got into. And they kind of crap out every now and then, but they're pretty – warranty-wise, if they die within the range, they're pretty good about sending you another one.
Really? See, I had spy points when they first came out, probably 7-8 years ago. Well, not first came out, when I really first started getting to it. they were okay. Had some I hated. You know, everyone was talking shit about them. Like, so spy points are terrible. So me just being a thoughtless 20, 21 year old was like, you know what? Everyone hates spy points. I'm not going to get spy points. And that sent me down a long rabbit hole. Turns out pretty much every trail camera I've had stinks.
Yeah.
They're all terrible. You know, and, you know, still please sponsor me. I'll take a free, but you know, I just, every single one I open up out of the box, if I buy five, one of them is just going to be a dud. It's not going to take pictures. It's just going to like drain. I have battery issues too. One of them will just rip through the batteries in a day. And I just can't seem to figure it out. And you got to not, and look, most of them are good about doing a warranty thing, but that's just, gosh, I'd love to just buy something and it works.
I think the only reason I got into spy points is because I put one in my Amazon list and my father-in-law bought it for me for Christmas. And then once I got comfortable with the app and everything, whenever I needed another one, I just added to it.
Yeah, see, that's another thing too, is I probably have 6 or 7 different trail camera apps on my phone, from Spy Point to Moultrie to Bushnell to I'm using Tacticams now. I will, you know, no, I say no free ads, but I will say Tacticam I've probably had the most luck with as far as quality, and they got some good options there too. You know, I still get the duds. I'm kind of charging the duds to the game now until somebody proves me otherwise. You know, it's like committing a crime. They're innocent until proven guilty.
I thought I had it good for a while because I was buying that's a little adapter you can put on a regular old camera. And it turns it into a cell camera, and I give up on it because twice it's got a little ribbon cable that goes from the cell box to the camera. Squirrels eat through that thing every time I stick it out there.
Really?
I give up. This is a little adapter.
I will say this too: where we hunt, I don't know about you, but if I wanted to guide squirrel and raccoon cunts or raccoon, wow. Wow, that was a Freudian slip there. that's tough. We'll start that over. Squirrel and raccoon hunts. Dude, I got some world-class raccoons up in Bowie.
I'm convinced some of mine are going to develop diabetes from eating all the corn.
Oh, dude. I've seen some literally get stuck in cow panel fencing because they're so damn fat. And they're like, they finally get through, but they're just like, it's insane. But well, before we get too down the rabbit hole of semantics here, Travis, why don't you tell us where you're from, what you do, and kind of how you got into hunting?
I'm originally from Longview out in East Texas, and that's where it all started for me. My dad, like most boys, got me out hunting. Always did rifle hunting with him. We had a lease in East Texas, real close to our house. Wasn't the best for deer, but we lived out there riding four-wheelers, like little motorcycle gang and hunting. I only shot one little buck out there, but took a lot of does out. And then I'd say I took a break from hunting just because I was busy chasing ladies most of my 20s. And
hey, I wouldn't say that was a break from hunting at all.
I would say
you just changed sports.
Looking back on it, I'd have been better off spending my money on hunting and going on hunting trips than I was just spending it out on the town.
I've been up here
for about 25 years in the North Texas area.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had my daughters, a buddy of mine got me into bow hunting because I could practice while they were napping.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go out and shoot and try to do the public land shuffle out north of Decatur. I'm never successful out there, and it was just a calamity of errors and people and weird circumstances until I lucked into this spot I'm at up in Bowie now, and I'm completely eat up with bow hunting, so that's pretty much all I do is toad out there with my bow.
Dude, what I will say this is somebody who does both, I mean, once the bow hunting bug gets you, it's kind of hard to kick it, I guess, if you will. I will rifle hunt. I mean, I shot my buck this year in Bowie with a rifle, but it hits a little different seeing the deer at 20 yards.
Oh yeah, when you can hear them chewing and breathing, that's a whole different ball game.
For sure.
I didn't think I was going to kill anything this year. I missed two deer, one in Kansas, and it was a testament to I don't practice enough these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what do you even define as practice with bow hunting though? That's one thing I've learned too, is like, dude, I've had years where I have practiced so much target shooting, but it doesn't replicate being in the moment. And I think one thing that's been instrumental for me in the last, I'll say 4 or 5 years now, I'd probably say 3 to 4, is I've actually really got into the process as far as like my shot process. And how long have you been bow hunting for?
Girls are fixing to be 11, so 11 years.
Okay, so almost about the same time as me. So you can test with this. That first like 5 years, 5-6 years, I mean, you were just lizard brain when you're shooting a deer. I
walked around with it a whole lot.
I mean, it's, dude, you pull back on a deer and you just black out and you pull the trigger or pull the thumb button. You're like, what the hell just happened? I have no clue what's going on. And I don't care who you are. If that doesn't happen to you, then you need to go play like professional sports,
be a
Marine sniper or something like that. I am not that guy. But one thing I've gotten in the last 3-4 years is I've really gotten into my shot process. And there's a guy by the name of Joel Turner.
Mm, Shot IQ.
Yep, Shot IQ. Dude, truly, I went through it bad from like 2021 to 2023. So I guess probably really about 3 years. I was just missing deer. I was shooting them high. I was shooting them back. And, dude, I'm a very good – I would say not very good. I'm a good archer for how much I shoot. But I would get in the moment of truth, and I would just lose my mind. And I you know, people don't like to come up on here. And it wasn't really even buck fever. It was just like I had a poor process. And one thing I kind of realized on me is as I've talked about before, is I play a ton of golf. And I have a whole pre-shot routine for all that. And I just realized, I'm like, all right, well, I'm hunting and I'm kind of pulling this sumbitch back and just kind of winging it and going it from there. But setting up a whole process as far as like, what Joel talks about is like, you know, entering the aiming room, just the way he describes it about stepping into separate rooms. And so it kind of just does itself. And truly, to his point, I don't even aim anymore. I really don't. Once I kind of quote unquote step about the aiming room, I'm not even really looking where I'm shooting. It has been very successful for me going through that process. And, you know, if you do hear this podcast, I think the one with Rogan is probably his most popular one. I would encourage you to go listen to that. But I'm simplifying some big topics here.
Crushing it this year. Mm-hmm. I got in my head in Kansas. It was the first night, and this 6-point walked out, and I was by myself, and I was already packing up the tent in my head, and I was like, man, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm fixing to be done. And I skipped it off its back, and he walked off into the woods, and the moon came out, and I never saw another deer shoot.
Oh, dude, that's – see, that happened to me when I was living in Utah. I had a 8-point that I had on camera walk out right in front. I mean, I couldn't have painted it any better. And I shot him at 19 yards, 18 yards, jerked, shot him high. And that's what I was doing, is I would get posted and set up, and then I would just freak and pull, and I'd just go. Or I'd pull. I was kind of like this up and. Well, I shoot right handed. It was like this up and right motion that I just could not kick. And you know, I was living 1,800 miles away, and that was my deer season. Is calling a dog, not finding it. So
the first one I missed this year in Bowie, I didn't expect to see anything because I literally went out there, added another ladder to my stand, making tons of noise, sweating like crazy, cutting a branch down. I thought I'll just sit up here for a minute. And would have been my biggest buck, walked right underneath me, hopped the fence right in front of me, and didn't know I was there. I could have taken my time. All I did was pull back, and as soon as I saw fur in my peep, I punched it and took some fat off of him, and there he went. And that was it. That was a wrap on that one.
Yeah. Now that's another thing too, especially if you're a rifle hunter wanting to get into bow hunting, regardless of how long you've been doing it, bow hunting will humble you. Whether it's an equipment issue, whether it's, you know, a user error. I mean, dude, there have been so many, and that's really where my struggle started. I mean, I think 2020, 2021, I shot deer I wanted to shoot within, I mean, one of them's to my left. Oh, that's the wrong camera thing. I shot that one on my left, like first day of deer time I hunt. No, it was the first time I hunted that year. And then the next one year I shot a buck like first week of November. And I'm like, dude, I got this figured out. And then boy, I was not ready for the humble pie I was about to eat. But, tell me a little bit how you got on in Bowie, like kind of what you think about it, I'm curious to hear your perspective. Cause, you know, as someone who, everyone I hunt with up there, I hunt around like my neighbors and stuff. They've been hunting there forever. So, how long you been out there? Just kind of what do you think compared to like other places you've hunted?
Well, it's one of the only places I've ever had a stable place since I've moved up here. And it's a real roundabout ways that I've lucked into this piece. Right around on that highway there, my brother-in-law's parents live, and it's probably 6 years ago now. She had posted a picture. They had hogs tearing up their little back pasture. And I was like, hey, I'll come out there and try to kill some of them. And didn't see any, but I found where they were coming onto their property from the property behind them. And my brother-in-law's dad contacted those folks and got me access over there for free. And it was like, I think it was like 70 acres. And I just had that to myself for like 2 or 3 years. And eventually I shot one buck out there, and I shot a ton of pigs out there. It was like Jurassic Park out there with pigs. And a few years down the road, the people that owned it sold it. And I knew another area the pigs were coming, so I popped Onyx up, found the guy that lives there, and just walked up to his house and was like, hey, would you mind if I, at this point in time, the little piece I got access on was like, it was only like 2 acres, but it was like 200 yards across. It was just real long and narrow. And I was hunting there. He just gave me permission and didn't want anything for it. Shot a deer there, but I knew all the deer were mainly staying on the other side of the fence, the rest of his property. So I waited till after season. I went over, I was like, hey, next year, would you care if I hunted on their side of the fence? And he goes, I already thought you were. I was like, no, sir. You told me this. I asked for this piece, and you said yes. So I haven't moved off of it. He's like, yeah, pull up your map. And he was like, he has like 300 acres. He was like, you can have this 80 acres to yourself. You'll be the only one hunting on it. And he won't take anything for it. Every year I get him a gift card to like Walmart or Tractor Supply and have to like force him to take it. And been out there ever since.
See, that's awesome. See, I mean this genuinely. That warms my heart that there are people still out there, because, dude, I know people who's like landowners or whatnot for leases that they're already paying thousands of dollars or literally trying to raise them their rates, you know,
yeah,
$500, $600 a year.
That's why I didn't have a deer lease, because I couldn't afford to pay that. I mean, I got twin girls in competitive tier. My money's already earmarked for years out. And I was like, you sure? I was like, I'll help you fix fences. I'll help you do anything. He's kind of a hermit, honestly. His house is kind of run down. He just works his land by himself. And I'll text him to check on him every now and then. Sometimes he texts me back. Sometimes he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I give him a Christmas card every year with a gift card in it. And usually I put it in his mailbox. Never hear a word. And this year I happened to, because we were out of town, and I got back and talked to him and gave it to him. He's like, I don't want it. I was like, take it, please. He's like, you don't understand what you're doing for me and my family.
Dude, that's awesome. See, and in part, man, like, in a perfect world, like, that's the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, so we both live in Fort Worth. We're actually not too far from each other. And, I mean, to get on a deer lease around here within an hour of where you know, okay, of where you want to, I mean, it's $4,000.
Oh, easy. You can go out there, like, during the season, can't take any family with you. It's
step yeah, I mean,
during the season, that's it.
Well, you know, and you're paying $3,000, and you're getting, you know, there's already been four or five guys on it that you don't know.
Yeah,
you're hunting with strangers or whatnot. You're getting the gar hole, and so you're just kind of. It doesn't necessarily set you up for the best spot, but. I'm kind of curious, what was, you know, you shot a buck on 2 acres. What was kind of the strategy there? That's actually really damn cool.
There wasn't much strategy to it, because honestly, there's not a single tree on that thing except for the fence line. And there was one, I don't think it's a cedar tree. I just shaved one side of it and stuck a hang on. And that was just the only stand I had, because that was the only tree I could access that was on the side of the fence that I had asked permission for. And one cold morning at the end of the season, one last shot, I had a little 9-point. He's kind of beat up, come out with a little spike, and he had a death wish because I missed in the first one. I went to put another arrow on as he's at my feeder, and I didn't notice that I didn't re-cock my wrist release. So when I go to pull it back, it just banjo stringed it, and the arrow just like went right and went straight down in front of my stand. And that deer just looked up, and I was like, I'll just keep throwing at it until I hit it, I guess, and put another one on and knocked him down then.
That's funny you say the banjo string thing. That exact thing has happened to me, where it was the first year I was shooting a thumb button. And first deer that walked out with a thumb button, nothing crazy, 120 inch 8-point. I go to pull, my button is right on that thumb, and I just start pulling, and boonk. I mean, it just drops out right over the front of the. I was in a ladder stand, just right over the safety bar, straight on the ground, gone.
And yeah, I was I just couldn't like, believe it didn't run off, because I mean, I see the arrow, it's sticking straight in the ground, right at the bottom of the ladder, and I was like, well, he's just gonna keep standing there. I guess I'll just keep shooting at him until I hit him.
What was going through your brain when that happened? Was it just full panic? Like, oh my God, oh my God.
It was a double SR, because I had just had, like, the day before, I'd had some steroid injections in my neck for a disc. I didn't think it would be a problem, but it was so cold. And when I first tried, I couldn't hardly pull my bow back. And I was like, oh my God, this is the only opportunity I've had all year, and I can't pull my bow back. And when I finally did it, and then I missed him, I was like, well, that's it. And he just, like, spun around. Kept standing there, and then I did that. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This thing wants me to kill it, because he's had so many opportunities to run away. And And I finally did. I just was like, when I finally shot him and he died, I was like, I can't believe that just happened.
Dude, it's funny you say that. You know, as someone who's been hunting Bowie a long, long time, I don't get a ton of opportunities. And maybe I'm just like a poor hunter, but like a lot of it is how the property sets up that I hunt, where it is almost entirely pasture land. So there's a lot of it's travel based. So there's a lot of luck involved for me as well. And, you know, luck is obviously preparation, meeting opportunity, but I struggle sometimes. And like this year, I mean, I was able to pull it off. But you know, I didn't really have an opportunity. Well, I had a few opportunities, actually, I take that back, but I didn't have a real good opportunity until, I guess it was December 28th when I shot that buck. Before that, I really didn't, you know, I saw some 4-year olds that I was going to let walk, and I'm in a position where I can let quite a few deer walk. But, one of the deer I finally wanted to shoot, there were three of them, he walked out, and I mean, obviously that's how the story went. But I mean, 2024, I'm hunting almost 2,000 acres in 2024. I had giant deer on camera, giant deer, 100. I don't know if I've sent you some of those deer I had on camera. If not, I'll send them after this podcast. But I mean, I'm talking 180 inch deer. And while hunting, I did not see a deer over 2.5. Now there's a myriad of reasons for that. Some are probably some error and some poor decision-making on my part. And some of it is just sometimes the property just doesn't set up that great for me. Which I'm curious to hear your take. Cause like I said, we are not far from each other. Go ahead.
Well, 2024, I didn't see anything. I'd never released an arrow in 24.
Neither did I. That was the first year I've eaten tag soup and Bowie.
And, it wasn't that. I saw a little button buck one time, and that was the only deer I saw. I think I messed it up because I had been seeing bucks, and that year I bought my first pop-up blind, and I put it where I thought it would be okay. I think I got it a little too close, and I had troubles anchoring it to get the wind to not blow it around. I think that thing made so much noise that it really ruined everything.
Dude, getting a pop up up there to anchor in the ground is damn near impossible. And if the wind doesn't blow it away, the cows come in where I hunt and they just absolutely destroy the damn thing. I mean, dude, that's another thing too, is I'd get worried about some of my deer stands. I mean, I had one blow over, I guess it was November. No, it was a little before. It was before hunting season, actually. I had one blow over, just completely fell. And busted the legs. But I think it was some freak storm. We had like 70, 80 mile an hour straight line winds. And I had it staked in, I had it T-post, and it pulled it. Problem is too, is where the ground is very soft.
It is.
Very, very, very clay grain. And the wind was catching up under that blind. And, I say it wasn't a fiberglass stand. It was actually one of those canvas stands.
Yeah.
And it blew it down, and I gotta go. But I just pulled it down, put it to the side. Where I think we're gonna try and weld on some 5-foot legs instead of 10-foot legs this year to kind of, you know, make it a little bit more palatable, I guess, if you will. But yeah, it's funny you say that, because 2024, terrible, terrible year.
I'm gonna give the pop up another shot this year, because he's got a back pasture that there's no, like, drive or road access into. It is literally, you just got to hike back into it, but to walk to it, you got to walk through everything the deer would be coming through. And some people that bought the land I used to hunt, I'm gonna kind of figure out where they live, and I'm gonna see if I can, because there's a barbed wire fence, if I can access it from there, because I want to do the pop-up, because one of my daughters, she wants to use a crossbow and hunt with me. So that pop-up's good for that, so I can be with her.
Let me change your life here. I still like hunting from pop-ups. I put them on platforms. It's the best thing I've ever done. Do you have a truck?
I have a Jeep.
A Jeep. Ah, damn. Well, if you ever need help moving, I can help you. But what I do with all my pop-ups now is I build like a – I take 4-foot square posts, and I cut them in half, and then I build a platform with, you know, then I frame it with 2x4s, you know, do bracing around the legs, then do a frame at the top, and then just put, I can't remember what says plywood. I think it's inch and 5/8 plywood, I believe. I can't remember off the top of my head. And I just, I drill it all together. All of my pop-ups are on that. And I've had that's been the best way I've been able to anchor it. One, it keeps the cows off of it. Or, you know, hogs for whatever reason. But then two, what I'll do is those little hooks, or excuse me, the little loops on all corners of the stand, I'll take, two nails and I'll nail it in inside the loops and then fold the nails down in opposite directions. And then you have the strings on all four corners of the pop-up blind. And then what you can do is you put nails in the sides of the 2x4 framing. And then you tie off the strings of those. And dude, that'll at least keep you from, you might have to kind of shuffle it a little bit. And then what I'll do on top of that is I'll get some cheap carpet and just take a stapler and just hammer staples all the way around the edge. Dude, it's money. And you know, you can get a pretty makeshift deer stand. And I don't know about you, I like to stand and shoot. Mm-hmm. I do not like shooting sitting down. That's a lot of reason I like hunting from a saddle, because I can do that as well. But dude, there's a few pop-up blinds out there that, you know, you can stand up and shoot in. And dude, that's been a total game changer for me, because you're elevated a little bit. It kind of gets you out of sight. I think it's a little easy. It almost makes it easier to hide, getting it up a little bit. Because just hunting deer at I got the burps here. Hunting deer at their eye level is hard, man.
Yeah,
it's really hard.
It's like my favorite stand out there, because on that property is an old dry creek bed that runs through most of it. And I knew this stand would be money, but this is the first deer I shot at this year, because I got a feeder down in there, but it's so the heels are so sloped on both sides. I'm like 15 foot up in a tree, but with the, you know, the grade going down in there, it's even further. So I'm up pretty high. And the way I have it positioned, I kind of almost stand behind the tree a little bit, and they just walk that dry creek bed.
Mm.
And he just came walking right down it. He looked like he'd been chasing, his tongue's hanging out, and they can't see me at all. So you have time to, you know, third ones, and, you know, I got to make counts. So I'm like, okay, breathe. He don't see you. Take your time. Don't hurry for once this year.
For sure.
Yeah,
I think, you know, that's going back to the shot thing. I think mistakes are your greatest teacher on that too, as well. I mean, it's the only way you're going to learn to get better at deer hunting, and that quote unquote moment of truth is you have to get out there and shoot more stuff. I know that is a trope that is repeated over and over again, but it's the truth. The more experience you can get under your belt, whether it's shooting hogs, shooting does, especially bow hunting, that is the number one thing you can do for sure.
That used to be my favorite pastime in the summer up there, was hunting pigs with my bow, but the spot I'm on, they have just disappeared.
Well, it must be nice. They're all in my place now, I guess.
Really? I used to be covered up in them.
Oh, dude, I have so many pigs, I don't know what to do with them. I think the only way to efficiently do it is I need to, like, not that I want to do this, but invest in a commercial trap, which, you know, those aren't cheap. You're going to spend some money on those. But, dude, there are so many damn pigs where I'm at. But the thing is, too, is I'm right on Denton Creek. Anytime there's a creek system or something like that, I mean, the hogs are just inherently going to get bad. So
but I will say it seems like since they have disappeared, I have more deer. So it's like,
absolutely,
I've lost absolutely my fun in the summer, but I am getting more bucks and brought on the property. So I'll take it, you know, either way, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it's cyclical too. Cause last year I probably had the least amount of quote unquote deer that I've seen in quite a while, because, I think it has a lot to do with the Hogs. I mean, it's the last 2 years have been horrendous. And I definitely need to put more pressure on them, but I just cannot get my ass off the golf course sometimes. But it's definitely something that's going to be necessary. Because another thing, too, is they're really hard on turkeys as well. I mean, they tear up habitat. And I hardly ever see turkeys where I hunt now. And I think you said you saw a few, like, last day of turkey season or something like that.
It was shocking out there. That was before the end. I just didn't have a chance to go out there. I had, like, five – you know, like any good sized toms with some jakes on camera, and that was the first time I've had one random bird on a camera one time, but that was the first time I'd seen any turkeys out there since I've been hunting.
Yeah, I think that's a really good sign too, because kind of like you said, in the last 5-6 years, I've had one random bird on camera who hung around for a week or two. I actually saw him deer hunting in the fall, and I was like, "Do I want to shoot this turkey? is this bad population management? Is this what I want to do with this deer hunt and blow it all up?" Like I didn't really know how to play that. So, what's kind of your goals for this next year? I know you got, you know, a little bit more access these last couple of years. Like what are you looking forward to? Is there anything on camera that you already kind of have your eyes set on?
Like, nothing yet. I can't really tell much by them. I just, with the way they travel in and out of there, I don't feel like I have a good opportunity to be picky.
It's for sure
such a, you know, it's just, it is relative. I mean, 80 for me is plenty, but it's, you know, they they can cover a lot of ground. So, you know, hopefully bigger than the 9 this year, they'll always be fine. Goal this year is to definitely shoot more deer, because I only shot one deer this year, and my mom had a major heart surgery, and they told her she could eat all the venison she wanted, and I asked her if she would eat it, and she's like, yeah. It's like, that's all the motivation I need to knock some more down this year.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. I try to shoot, if I can get 2 a year, 1 buck and then 1 doe, I'm pretty set. I have a couple buddies as well. I'll shoot 1 or 2 for, who don't hunt, but I got one buddy who doesn't hunt, and he's just like crazy fitness guy. And, you know, he's all into the macros and all that. And he's like, "Hey man, if you shoot another doe, I'll take it." And I'm like, "Yeah, dude, I got plenty of dough to get rid of." So I'll do that as well, and just give it to him, because I like shooting deer for fun. It's, you know, that's, you know, obviously you're providing, but like, I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. Shooting deer is a damn good time.
It's been shocking. I actually don't have a lot of does. Like, I'll have them right now, but during the deer season, they kind of leave the piece I'm on. I haven't seen a lot.
Let me ask you this. What time of, you know, because I have some hypotheses, a few different theories here. What kind, or what time of year do you think you're seeing the most deer activity? I mean, hit me with July. It could be during hunting season. Like, where do you see the most deer activity?
It seems like they really hammer my stuff in this, like, late summer. And right now, I'm getting 4 to 5 deer just hanging out all night in my spot. And they do seem to kind of thin out during deer season, but they still come around. But the most is, it seems like they're really hitting it right now.
Yeah, dude, I don't know, the way my property sets up every year, I have so many big deer in like late August. And then the bachelor groups start breaking up, and dude, a few will stick around, but they just get out of town. I mean, it happens every year where, like, I walk in, I'll put cameras out August, and like those first 2 weeks of September, dude, I'm like, I legitimately have 7-8 shooters on camera, like mature 5+ year old deer. And then October, late September, October rolls around, and those bachelor groups start to bust up, and, you know, they each kind of go into their own range, and they disappear.
Yeah, usually bow season, I have nothing on camera, even though I still go. Just, you know, hope for the best, but I get hardly anything when bow season actually kicks off.
What do you feel about your rut? I'm curious your take on that.
I tried to focus on it this year, but never got anything chasing on camera. I never had anything when I was out there. Rattle, snort, wheeze, nothing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like that deer I killed, though, I don't know if it was that late last, you know, rut they'll do. Because, I mean, it was in December, but he definitely looked like he'd been chasing something.
Mm-hmm. Or well, you know, chased. Yeah. I mean, they will definitely run themselves down just for the entirety of the rut. Like the deer I shot this year, the camera pictures of, you know, him in the first week of November versus what he looked like when I shot him. I mean, he looked like Skeletor.
Really?
You wouldn't have believed it was the same deer unless I would have had pictures. I mean, I'd had pictures of that deer for 3-4 years. But it's totally different, like body structure. He was ran thin. But kind of going back to what you said, I think it's a very cool perspective between me and you where, you know, my family was lucky enough to buy a pity brig. I can't talk tonight. I don't know what my deal is. Talk too much at work today. A pretty big piece of property back in the '60s,
okay.
Or late, I guess it was early '70s when, you know, land was much, much cheaper than it is now. And, it's the same thing. I don't hunt the rut anymore. I mean, I will, if, you know, I have a day that looks really good, if there's a really big cold front coming through, but coming like after that last week of October, I lose deer for a little bit. I don't know how it seems the way the property sets up that I just don't get the deer that I want to see in that rut, quote unquote, period, that, you know, first 2-3 weeks of November. But my other than late September, mid-September, the most deer I see is that Thanksgiving to probably like to really the end of season. With more specifically, I see the most deer, especially bucks, like shooter bucks on camera, Thanksgiving to like that first week in December.
See, I almost really can't focus on a certain time. I don't know if you have children.
No, okay, so, now.
See, we're busy with so much stuff. It's just you go when you get a free second. And
absolutely,
it's either, you know, it could be early bow season, just whenever I get the green light, take it. You know, you just run out there anytime you can.
Absolutely. I get that for sure. I think too, that's one thing that I think has been over preached in the hunting industry is, you know, worry about your wind and all that. And first of all, I think wind is just vastly overrated. It's like you got to come up with this perfect day to kill a deer. And I'm like, don't get me wrong. I think there are some things that help. But at the same time, you ain't going to kill them from the couch. So if you have the opportunity to get out there, you know, you definitely got to go do it.
You know, it's funny. You try to make a certain path to get to your stand and all that stuff. And like the stand I killed my deer from, there's this natural egress down where the deer always go. And that's how I used to walk in there. I was like, oh, I'm going to cut a new path and do it. And I started making a new path. And I had a buck early in the season walk under my stand, but it was too dark to shoot. And he uses the path I made. So it's like, they're lazy. They want to find the easiest way in and out of there. And I'm like,
for sure.
I made that so I didn't disturb your path. And now, hell, now you're going the same direction I came in.
No, I think access is probably more important. I think thermals are more important than wind. But at the same time, you know, I think one of my favorite quotes that I've ever heard deer hunting is, do you know what a big buck's going to do, Travis?
What's that?
Whatever he damn well pleases.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just kind of, it's a crapshoot, man. It's hard to, you know, at the end of the day, like regardless of whatever your strategy is, I think there's an element of luck that is applied.
That first one I missed this year, I mean, that day I was soaking wet, the wind was in my face, and so it's blowing behind me. I made all that noise, all that smell, and he walked right up behind me. So I'm like, if he was going to, my stink was blowing right at him, and it didn't seem to bother him.
When was that? What time of year?
It was still mid-bow season, so it was probably mid-October. It was still real hot. And I just couldn't believe it. I heard a noise and I was like, oh my God, the wind blowing directly at his face and he just walked right underneath me.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, the testament to that is again, just go hunt.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a wind change, face the other way. You just don't know what is going to happen. You know, I've seen it time and time again. Seems like some of the days where I go and I'm like, dude, I've gone hunting where it's 80 degrees and I'm like, I'm not going to shoot a deer. And lo and behold, I don't shoot a deer, but I'm like, dude, I saw one of my shooters at 80 yards away. I had no idea I'd see a deer today. So
I make plans and watch the weather and cold front coming through. And I'm like, I'm going to get out there before it hits. Get there and wait, feel it coming. I'm like, all right, we're going to start moving.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
For sure. Well, I got to run off to dinner here. I had a very skimpy lunch, and I'm hurting for it. Is there any kind of parting thoughts you want to finish us here? Any kind of plugs or anything like that?
No, man. Just get out, go hunt. If your kids are interested, take them with you.
Absolutely. I think that's the most important thing you could do. And I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but that's kind of a soapbox I've been on. Is I am concerned. Not just in Texas, but the future of hunting as a, I don't even want to say a sport, as a tradition, if you will. I think there's some very concerning things going on at Texas Parks and Wildlife as far as who's running it and what kind of interest groups are in there, and kind of some trends that are saying, but we're not going to get in that rabbit hole because we'll be here for another 3 hours and people will start calling me some conspiracy theorist. But Travis, I appreciate it. Anything you want to plug or anything like that? Social media is anything.
You can find me on Instagram if you want. There's nothing that fancy on it.
Fair enough. Awesome. Well, I appreciate it, brother. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Bye.